Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We all have experiences that shake our faith. There are times where we have questions for God's plan relative to us. But that's precisely when we should remember Christ's own doubts and eventually
his own triumph. What's the whisper of the doubts?
Jesus told us as much in the
book
of John.
Let me ask you something. Would you trust anyone who has Al Sharpton in the White House? Would you trust anyone to be telling you the truth who invites a street radical, an agitator, to an Easter prayer breakfast? I wouldn't. So here we are, 1-800-449, you know the number, you know the book, you know the website, I got a pair of shoes to sell you, a floor mat, medication to give you a male enhancement, hair growth. It's getting frightening. It's all about race now. Wherever I turn, it's race. Country. Have you seen the headline today on the Drudge Report? First of all, let me back up. Have you yet read the article Do or Die on the Drudge Report about me and my book Trickle Down Tyranny? 700,000 people went on to that site, linked up to WorldNet Daily. Listen to the number I just gave you. Write it down. I wouldn't say it's a world record. 700,000 people went to the Drudge Report, either through the went to that article, either through WND or the Drudge Report or my website, and have downloaded It's Do or Die on the Drudge Report. And I suggest you grab it now before it disappears. Usually articles don't stay up more than 2 days. You got to save that article. Now I wake up and I see that the Democrats are blacklisting Walmart and Coke. Have you seen that on the top of Drudge? Now, why are they blacklisting Walmart and Coca-Cola? Why? What does Coca-Cola have to do with anything? According to the wonderful, fine, upstanding citizens in the Congressional Black Caucus, they're leading a campaign against Coca-Cola and Walmart because these companies apparently want America not to be controlled by illegal aliens. In other words, they want voter ID laws put in place. Every poll shows that most Americans back voter ID laws. But the Congressional Black Caucus says that they are equal to segregation, and they want this knocked out. They want no voter ID laws. Now, why would black leaders not want voter ID laws? The only people who benefit from that are illegal aliens who are not citizens. They're the only ones who benefit from no voter ID laws. What's intriguing to me is that I feared this would happen. I feared that the way he would rig the election, steal the election, really, was through illegal aliens. I feared that. I said it to you at least 9 months ago, then 6 months ago. It's as though my prediction is coming true. And I want to talk about it. I have said to you that this is the most corrupt administration in our history. I've told it to you over and over again on my radio show. I've said that Barack Obama is presiding over the most corrupt administration in this country's history. I said he's bringing Chicago-style strong-arm politics to Washington. You've heard that before, right? Well, here's a little fact for you. It came and went real quickly. This is why he's sure he's going to win the election. This is why he whispered to Medvedev with the closed mic, when I'm reelected. This is why he said when I'm reelected again the other day. You want the answer? It's found in four paragraphs on page 25 of Trickle Down Tyranny. How many predictions have I made in this country in any of my speeches or books that were right? Many, correct? Well, unfortunately, I'm right again. Page 25, Trickle Down Tyranny. You won't see it in any other book. You ready for it? Did you hear that the Obama administration has sold the rights to processing our election results to a private company, that this critical component of a free election, the transparent tabulation of votes, will now be handled not by individual precincts, but by a company over which we will have little control. Did you know about that? SOE, a U.S. elections results processing company, which has handled processing election results from over 500 American jurisdictions, has typically provided prompt reporting of precinct-level results. However, SOE was recently acquired by SCYTL, a vote processing company based in Spain. And this compromises the process enormously. Instead of producing election results trackable at the precinct level, votes will be transmitted to a central server where they will be counted. The problem is that once the votes are merged, it will be impossible to go back and check their integrity at the local level. I conclude this on page 25 with this. It is very likely that this is the final step in Barack Obama's corruption of the voting process. It has the promise of enabling him and his cohorts to control the outcomes of federal elections with no accountability. On top of that, it's one more step toward the formation of a global government, one of the aims of George Soros, whose puppet currently occupies the White House. Did you know that both Barack and Michelle Obama voluntarily gave up their law licenses and are not permitted to practice law in the United States? Why did he do that? It's the same sort of voluntary surrender that Bill Clinton made after he lied under oath. Are you aware of just how extensive the corruption was when Obama turned stimulus money? Well, I'm not going to read you the whole book. You bought the book. You're going to buy the book. However many sell, sell. I would say to you that the story about vote rigging is the most important thing you can show to your so-called liberal wife, liberal husband, liberal child. Because it's the end of freedom in America. Did you hear what I said? Do you think I made this up? Who owns SCYTL, a vote processing company based in Spain? Anybody who can find out who was on the board of directors and call the show, I will give you three books. I will give you Trickle Down Tyranny, I will give you Abuse of Power, and I'll give you Trickle Up Poverty. If anyone can crack the code and tell me who this company is, who controls it, who owns it, you get three free books today. Everyone else who gets on the air, who has a good story to tell, will be getting a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. So I have a few questions for you on the Savage Nation. Remember when Bush was president? Remember? And remember when the liberals who went out of business did nothing but Bush bashing day in and day out, and people got fed up with it, and we in the conservative media would say, God, how can they get away with this? Why are they bashing Bush? It's boring. Can't they do anything else, right? Well, do you think that my criticizing Obama on a daily basis, do you think my writing a book where I show you in black and white with reference after reference after reference, do you think it's boring? Do you think it's necessary? Or do you think it's racist of me to even criticize the president? Do you think any criticism of Obama is based upon the fact that he is has an African father? Because I've seen reviews on Amazon.com that were positive. Then I saw the plants from the Democrat machine saying, oh, here's another guy who's hateful that there's a black guy in the White House and I don't like it. Savage repeatedly and falsely accuses the president of engaging in promoting socialist policies. Am I right or wrong? Who's right, me or this plant of the government? Because others love the book. They're saying, just finished chapter one. As with a lobster and steak dinner, I will keep eating. I certainly know why I've always called Michael the bullseye man. Others say Michael is the true voice of the American people. His book, Trickle Down Tyranny, is the best laid out plan to get the country back. I don't want to read you the reviews. I can't read things on the air. You know, it's an interesting thing about radio, that when I read things, I lose my energy. I do spontaneous shows. I can't read even from my own book without losing energy. Would you believe it? It's a funny thing. One of these days I'll do a seminar on broadcasting, since I'm probably good at it. Consider I'm good at it. Never went to school for it. I'm a natural. Either you know how to walk on a tightrope or you don't. You can go to all the classes in the world and you're never going to be a great tightrope artist. But one of the things you got to understand is that talk radio has to be spontaneous to be good. People will turn off if you're reading something. I don't care if it's a bill in the Senate or even from your own book, no matter how scintillating it is. They want to hear the natural palabar. They want to hear you talk. They want to hear what you have to say. They want to hear it man to woman, woman to man. They want to hear it human to human. It's as simple as that. So, it goes back to the first questions, which is, Democrats boycott Coke and Walmart. It's a top of Drudge. Why are they boycotting Coke and Walmart over voter ID laws when most Americans understand that there's voter fraud, massive voter fraud? And the second question is, why are black leaders in favor of voter fraud? I don't quite understand that. There's only one conclusion you can draw. There's another element, the race. Race. Everywhere you turn, it's racist now, racism. Everywhere you turn, they're steaming up like almost a race war. Why would this man invite Al Sharpton into the White House when the man is known to be a lowlife of the lowest order? Al Sharpton is a street agitator. Al Sharpton is a lowlife, in my opinion. Why would he be invited in the White House? How does that help the president get reelected with white people? Did you hear what I said? You want to make it racial? Let's make it racial. Let's make it racial. He's making it racial every day. And I'm going to say something now that is not that shocking. But I thought about something that hit me like 3 in the morning. I woke up like in a shock. I said, here is a man, Barry Obama. He had a white mother and he had an African father, not an African-American father. And then a bell went off in my head. Because all the African people I've met in my life, I haven't met thousands, but I've met dozens in my life. African people who come to this country are usually very pro-American. They seem to love the country, but more importantly, they don't have a grudge. They don't have that attitude of anger and hatred and resentment, and you owe me. Africans have a whole different attitude. So where does Obama get off with playing the race card when his ancestors were never slaves? I don't know anyone who's ever seen this before. Am I making sense to you? Don't you understand it's all an act? He's taken on the mantle of the angry guy who has grievances against America. His dad was from Africa, God bless him. His mother was a white lady. So where's the resentment about slavery in him? Where is this coming from? He's using it as a tool, as he used it to get into the White House. I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. I will reserve... I rest my case, and I'll be right back to take your votes right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
A little sleigh ride music by Leroy Anderson. Let's hear it. Come on, play it. Let's try to lighten up a bit. Just because we found out today on the Savage Nation that a Spanish holding company now controls the outcome of our elections, why should you be upset? Take your Kool-Aid. Take your Soma. Go on a weight loss diet. Take a trip. Take a trip. Take a pill. Cool out. Chill it. You're a racist if you think this man is a socialist. You're a racist if you criticize him for criticizing the Supreme Court. You're a racist if you can't stand the hard-knuckle approach of this gang. So, cool it. Relax. Let's have some bookstore horror stories. I'm getting calls from around the country of the book being buried, about displays being overturned. Oh, can't happen here? Well, we don't have book burnings yet, so we have to be thankful about that. Why don't you listen to what the callers are saying? Are you ready? Let's start with Stephanie in New York on WOR. Stephanie, what did you find? Go ahead.
Well, I found that your book was smushed into the middle, so I took what was there and I made my own display. And I made up nice little displays all over the store, right in all the key places.
Well, it's supposed to be, I'll tell you again, this is a couple of days is all I do this. My publisher, HarperCollins, pays for upfront display on the day it's first launched for a couple of days. If the bookstores are not doing it, they're violating the agreement. So you did the right thing, and I would encourage everyone else in this audience that if you want your voice heard, if you believe that my message is your message, if you believe that my message is important enough to not be buried, then go into the bookstores and demand, or move the book yourself. Stephanie, I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Vince in New York has another horror story. Vince on WOR, what'd you find?
Hey, Dr. Savage, it's an honor to talk to you. I was in a bookstore, Barnes & Noble, and your book was in the middle of the new release section, but piled high was every other book, so I couldn't find it. I couldn't even see it, So I did the same thing Stephanie did. I moved the other books out of the way, put it right in front. Somebody was like, hey, what are you doing? I said, it's fine. I have to make a few adjustments. And that
good
was that.
For you. That's right. Don't be never be intimidated by other customers, because they're just like you, and you have every right to display the book you want displayed. If they can push Rachel Madcow's book over mine, if they could take Rachel Madcow's book and push it, make it look like it's a bigger book than it is, you have every right to push the Savage over the Madcow.
Absolutely.
So I'm sending you a free copy for Passover. You know, I want to go back to that. I raised something that's shocking, and most people didn't even hear me, and they don't even want to hear it. They're afraid. They're uncomfortable. I'm going to say it again because I think it's an important discussion that someone who really specializes in these things should pick up and write an essay about. Barack Obama never identified with the black radical theological, movement at all. He even wrote about it. He said he never even thought about it until he got to Columbia, when he decided, he consciously made a decision to identify with the black radicals of his time because that was the way to go. That was cool. And look how far it's taken him, all the way into the White House. But the man really has no grievance in that. His father is of African descent. His father was from Africa, of another race. I've seen it my whole life. It makes me nauseous. It's that attitude, the chip on the shoulder attitude. I've seen it in other peoples, other races, other creeds, other religions, where they find a justification for being just what they are, using a weapon against people. But the fact is, you should never forget the fact that his dad was from Kenya. His father was African. He was not enslaved. So to walk around with the attitude that he has a grievance because of some injustices that occurred several hundred years ago to other people is crazy. And it's the same with Jewish people who walk around. So, I was thinking about that. To the hardcore liberal Democrat, he's the angel, and to the conservative, he's the devil. The country's broken down along this fracture line. You know what I'm saying? It's fractured. The country is more divided than ever in my lifetime. I mean, I lived through the 60s. It was pretty bad then. I lived through the Vietnam War, and I saw what the vermin did to this country at that time. And there was almost a civil war in this country. You might say we had a second civil war in the 60s. You remember the killings at Kent State and whatnot. I believe that this president wants something along those lines in order to make sure that votes are suppressed, number one, and that he can justify doing things, number two. So you can see which camp I'm in. Now, is it because of his race? I would have to think about it in order to justify the fact that I don't believe so. Can I say 100% no about anything? No, I can't. I'm a rational man. I'm a scientist by training. If you said to me that Alan West was president and he's a black man, I would think that it'd be a better country. So what would that make me, a racist? Or is it based on political ideology? To me, it's pure political ideology. I think Clarence Thomas is a wonderful man. I have said so for 15 years because politically I agree with him. I don't look at a man's race when it comes to that. I look at their politics, their intelligence, and their demeanor. That's how I've always been. So I have to just explore my own motivations. And I think I'm pretty clear on where I come from. Of course, those on the other side would argue that anybody who disagrees with Obama is doing it because they don't want a black man in the White House. That's the kind of stuff I saw on the Amazon where they plant, you know? They plant stuff. There's so many news stories, it's shocking out there. But before I go on to your calls, which are so very important to everyone listening to the show, because we're getting flooded with calls from people who are saying that the book has been buried facing the back of the store, and we're going to try and fix this. If you've not yet done so, I'm going to ask you to please go to the Drudge Report on the right side, because it's moving down. I don't know how much longer he's going to hold it up. Michael Savage, Do or Die for America. It's been dropped by WND. It's still on this website. They had 700,000 hits in 2 days. That's a pretty awesome number of people who went to an article. That's awesome. But I want you to get it and print it before it's gone and share it with people. You can link it and send it, right? Why don't you send it out to your list of social media? Anyway, let's go on. I raised the blockbuster today, which is the take-home message. I'm going to try and do one a day that you can remember. I told you that U.S. elections results are no longer processed by an American company. I told you they're now processed by SCYTL, a company based in Spain. I told you this compromises the process enormously. I said that we can no longer be sure that our election results are trackable. I said that this is very likely the final step in Barack Obama's corruption of the voting process. I said this has the potential to enable him and his cohorts to control the outcomes of federal elections with no accountability. I wrote all of this on page 25 on the vote rigging and trickle-down tyranny. If I were Abby Hoffman, I would tell you to go and tear that page out of the book and send it around, but I'd rather you don't. Okay? A, I'm not Abby Hoffman. B, buy the book and show the page to others. I don't believe in vandalism. New York, Peter, I think you're a winner. Go ahead, please. Tell us who SCYTL is.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Savage. The board of directors actually is Carl's Fur, Bernard Leotard, Albert Fur, Peter Holmes, Per Vales. And basically, they're all, it looks like, retired venture capitalists.
Right. But they're all from Europe, aren't they?
That's absolutely correct. I'm trying to do a little investigating on them.
Carlos Ferrar is the general partner of Norta Capital.
That's right.
That's number one. He lives in the, he's Italian. Bernard Leotard, partner of Balderton Capital, another venture firm, French. Albert Ferrer Oliveras, investment manager of Grupo Financiero Riva y Garcia, another Spaniard. Peter Holmes, director of intellect for UK Trade Association, he's a Brit. Per Vales, CEO of SCYTL, Spanish. There's not one American person on the board of directors of this company that controls the outcome of our voting. How is that possible? How could SOE, a U.S. elections results company, be permitted to sell it to a holding company in Europe? Who permitted this?
Well, someone's lining someone's pockets somewhere. So
I want to know where the Republicans are on this. Okay, can anyone answer that question? Now, if I know this, I'm only a talk show host. Ordinary guy. I'm not as brilliant as Matt Romney. Matt Rummy, I'm mixing up. I'm not as brilliant as Matt Rummy. I am not as smart as Sanctorum. I certainly wasn't up to a Neuron or to the Girded One. But the truth is I do the best I can with my limited abilities. And my limited abilities are questioning how it is that our votes could be processed by a Spanish holding company. Where were the Republicans when this occurred? Why has there been no investigation by the Federal Elections Commission? Why are the American people in the dark about this? How do you live in a country where you don't even know if your vote is even counted properly? Why is it that the Associated Press doesn't even cover this story? I have 500 questions. Do you have any even one answer? How many times have I been wrong on this show? Almost never. Now, I have told you for over a year now that the Fort Hood shooting suspect, the Muslim major, Nidal Hassan, who in cold blood assassinated 13 soldiers and shot 32 other people, has not yet been tried because Obama does not want this trial to come to light until after the election. Do you know what happened today? You want to hear the story? Fort Hood's shooting suspect seeks trial delay again. The judge, Colonel Gregory Gross, previously delayed the trial from March until June. Nidal Hassan's attorneys want another delay until after the elections. Okay, why do you think Obama wants the Fort Hood massacre buried until after the election? Well, just say the word Hussein. And remember that the crackers are liable to put two and two together, and no matter how many times he has a prayer breakfast in the White House, a goodly portion of people in the backwater states of anywhere west of the Hudson River, anyone who doesn't go to a nightclub till 5 in the morning in New York, you know, in other words, people without teeth who might have appeared in the movie Deliverance to the fine folks of Manhattan, those folks are liable to keep saying that Obama's not really a Christian no matter what he says. So if you have a bookstore horror story when you went to buy your trickle-down tyranny, I'd like to hear it. By the way, that guy, Peter, gets the three books, Doug. Make sure. I live up to my word to the best I can, okay? Ring the bell again. Let's do it. Yeah, ring. Okay. That's what you get if you win the book. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. West Virginia, Jody. Go ahead. What's your bookstore story?
Hi. When I went in to go to the bookstore, they have your book on the table when you first walk in, and the next table right next to it is Everything from Obama. You can get his Dreams book, his Audacity of Hope, everything.
Oh, I see. Even though the books are no longer current, they're prominently displayed in time for the competition with this one.
Exactly.
Well, you know what, Jadi? It's a free country. People are entitled to do what they want in a store. It's not government controlled. And so they're entitled to display any book they want. But I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny for being such a good soldier of the Savage Nation. New York, Deborah, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage.
Yes.
I went into Howell today, Howell, New Jersey, and I went into Barnes & Noble, and I said, I'm looking for Dr. Savage's book, Trickle Down Tyranny. And I said, it broke on Tuesday. She goes, what book? I said, you know, so she said to me, well, I first got to see what, you know, if we have it or not.
Right.
And then I walked down a little midway to the store, and the display towards in the middle, it was like hidden between other books. It was like 8 books they had there and facing the back of the store.
All right. Where is the bookstore and what's it? Was it Barnes & Noble? Where?
Yes. Howell, New Jersey, on Route 9.
Well, I'm sure my publisher's reps are listening, and they're going to admonish the green-haired individual in the bookstore. Was it a normal clerk or one of the progressive clerks?
She looked like a progressive.
In other words, she looked like a degenerate in
plain
English.
Yeah,
see, in my day, they called them degenerates. Today, you call them progressives.
Right.
She you're, said, not supposed to no- you're not supposed to notice the track marks on their arm. Or the green hair coming out from underneath their dress. Okay, I get it. You're supposed to say they're just like us. They're not like us. It's horrible. It's like Madame Defarge. Every time I see one of them, I think of Madame Defarge. That's all I can say. So, okay, that's it. You're facing that. You're winning it. If you name it, you gain it. What's the name of the book?
A Trickle Down Tyranny.
Bingo. Let's see another winner. I'm only going to do this for a few days, and I got to get the book kicked off. As you well know, Fox News will not have me on, and today they hired Jesse Jackson's daughter as a broadcaster. That's right. And she was hired specifically because she's such a fine intellect. She has such a sterling delivery. She has a degree in, well, we don't know exactly what, probably something very advanced, perhaps in nuclear physics. But Murdoch is so desperate he hired Jesse Jackson's daughter for Fox News. Fox News channels hired Jesse Jackson's eldest daughter, Chicago host Santita Jackson, as an on-air contributor. This is to make sure that Murdoch is not walking the plank when the Justice Department brings him up on charges of something or other. Now, if you could believe this is what's going on in this country, that they're that politically oriented, well, okay, you got this. You got this. You know that O'Reilly will go to dinner with her and says that she's amazing. Remember when O'Reilly went to dinner with Al Sharpton and he came back and he said he's a nice guy? He actually can use a knife and a fork. And he didn't realize how racist that was? It was astounding to me. I mean, this is a lifetime contract because Fox fires her no matter what her ratings are. They'll be sued for discrimination. But worse than that, the Justice Department will put Murdoch away for years. You know, it's amazing to me how much of the news is now orchestrated about the coup of America and the cover-up. It's unbelievable to me. The media is being censored both within and from without. Fresno, California, David, you want to call about the vote rigging and the company that controls the counting of the votes. David, what do you know?
Yes, sir. When I heard you ask the question, I went ahead and did some Google searches. And it turns out the CEO of SEYTL, the former CEO of GlobalNet, who, and vice president as well, and his name is Pierre Val. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, P-E-R-R-E.
Yes, he's the CEO of SEYTL that controls our votes.
Yes, sir. Also was a major Obama contributor to his presidential campaign. Apparently he contributed the maximum allowable amount to Obama's inauguration campaign.
Oh, I see. I also see that Mr. Vallès, Pierre Vallès, was involved in the Titan Corporation. Wait a minute. Hold it. Becoming one of the leading providers of voice over IP in the world and was instrumental in the successful sale of the company to the Titan Corporation, a New York Stock Exchange defense company. Oh, the government media complex and the military-industrial complex. That's how it works. Huh. Providing financial and strategic consulting, blah, blah, blah. Bachelor's degree in economics and a bachelor's degree in law from the University of Barcelona. I never heard of the University of Barcelona, do you? But apparently they give out degrees in Barcelona. He also worked at KPMG. What's KPMG? Is that a mergers and acquisitions company? Kohlberg? No, that's not Kohlberg Kravitz. Nevertheless, the issue is for you to take home is that our votes are now being counted by a company that has supercomputers that are controlled by a Spanish holding company. Ask Mr. Ramney about that. How does he do that? You win a copy, David. If you name it, you gain it. What's the name of the book?
Trickle Down Tyranny.
Bing, another winner. The next time Romney gives a speech somewhere, ask him about it. Don't read the Book of Mormon at one of his meetings. He has every right not to talk about his religion, incidentally. It's not your business, incidentally, any more than it was our business to ask Mr. Obama about his years in the madrasas. So, therefore, leave his religion alone. Frankly, it's his business. Secondly, I'm glad he's a Mormon, because he's a devout Christian and he's a good man. I know many let's not go into this, because I still don't understand this division. I never understand religious wars. I don't want anything to do with them. I see Jews who hate other Jews. I see Orthodox Jews who hate other Orthodox Jews. I see liberals who hate conservative Jews. I never saw anything like this. Catholics with the Protestants, and now you got... Leave me out of the religion part of it. I don't live in a theocracy. I don't live in Iran, thank you. I don't care what Romney believes in. He's a good man. He was a missionary. That's all I care about. He's a good guy, nice family. Let it go at that. Because now we're going to get into something that we shouldn't even be talking about. Unless you want to go into it, then ask Obama about his Muslim years. He had every right to do what his father asked him to do and to be a devout Muslim as a youngster. He had every right to do that. He had every right to come to America and see that there was nothing, you know, no advantage to being a Muslim and becoming a Christian in Reverend Wright's church. He had every right to become a sort of an extremist in that church and sit there for 20 years. He had every right to do it. It's a free country. He could have gone to the Nation of Islam's church, or mosque, whatever, if he wanted to. It's his business. It's a free country. And just because Reverend Wright and Louis Farrakhan were good friends, and just because Louis Farrakhan lived near the Obamas doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with it. He has every right to associate with who he wants. In America, you have free association. See? Now, if Mitt Romney had associated with a Ku Klux Klan member, I suppose the Associated Press wouldn't think very much of that. And if he had sat in a church where a KKK member in a white sheet had espoused vile statements for 20 years, I suspect we would have heard about it by now, but since none of that is true, we won't be hearing about that. Michael in Rhode Island, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I just wanted to let you know about what I ran into today at two bookstores while looking for your book. One was at the airport, and they didn't have it. It was an extension of Barnes & Noble. They said that they'd never got it. They said I had to go to the main store.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the main store. Way in the back near the children's section. I'm not kidding you.
Hold on. Wait. Before we take a break, hold on. Tell me which bookstore this was.
Barnes & Noble in Warwick, Rhode Island, sir.
In Warwick, Rhode Island? Well, maybe the children will buy the book. You never can tell. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. Fort Hood shooting suspect seeks trial delay again. Read all about it. Yeah, it's happening again. I was the only one in the media remembers that he killed 13 and shot 30 people, shouting Allahu Akbar, and they won't try him. The U.S. Army willfully ignored the pro-jihad rants of Major Nidal Hassan and multiple reports by his superiors about the pro-Islamist internet postings he made before Hassan killed 13 and wounded 30. Why is the government pushing this off until after the election? You could put two and two together. But what's intriguing to me is that Big Sis Napolitano wants businesses to look for people who buy night flashbulbs, waterproof matches, customers who pay with cash. You're supposed to be on the lookout for customers who are missing hands and fingers, or any customer who makes extreme religious statements, because these could be indicators that the buyers are potential terrorists, according to Napolitano's logic. Well, by the same logic, though, is that the government itself overlooked exactly that kind of activity. It's now asking citizens to report in the interest of promoting political correctness. They ignored Nidal Hassan's rants. They ignored Hassan writing his reports with Allahu Akbar, his internet postings, and now they're telling you to look for someone who buys night flashlights? Pages 258, 259 of Trickle Down Tyranny. One of the things authors of nonfiction books fear the most is that the book will be out of date before it's published. I struggled with this right to the day of publication. I had to be somewhat far-seeing and know exactly what to put in there so the book maintained its relevancy, because in the age of the internet, you'd say books are irrelevant. The news is breaking so fast. Well, let me ask you something. Have you learned anything yet from me on this show or from the book itself that you think is still relevant? How about like everything? How about the writing itself? How about the fact that this book is not about a cover with a pretty picture on the front and empty pages? Because my name is not Wallbanger. I'm not up there with a hammer, you know, if I had a hammer. So there it is. I'll be right back to take your calls on this and other subjects in all the breaking news. Why are the Democrats boycotting Coca-Cola and Walmart?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I really want to hear, you know what song I like? The Syncopated Clock. I'm in the mood for that. I used to watch The Late Show when I was a kid after school. My father, I would, you know that story, right? What's this? Officials from Egypt's Brotherhood are at the White House? So you don't even know what's going on. The people are so stupid in this country. I don't know whether to just run out of the country and... Am I watching The Late Show? Is this some horror show I'm watching? Has there been a revolution and you don't even know it? Have radicals taken over America? Are they screwing you left and right, north, south, east, and west? Officials from Egypt's Brotherhood are in the White House? So in other words, they're now... What? Wait a minute. Islamists are in the White House? They put Mubarak in prison. They killed Gaddafi. They're backing Islamists in Syria, and you don't see two and two. You can't put two and three together and come up with four. Play Syncopated Clock, because I don't know any. Is this reality or fantasy? The president is inviting the Muslim Brotherhood into the White House, and you don't see two and two? They want vote fraud. They're boycotting companies like Coca-Cola and Walmart who are against voter fraud. And you don't see a revolution having occurred in this White House, and he gets away with this on a daily basis? Why? I blame the Republicans. Check pants, white guys with golf clubs in their spine. The men who have no backbone, they have golf balls in their back. I blame the... John Boehner. Let him get another lucky strike and a pink tie and start crying on the floor of the Senate. I can't take it anymore. They should be screaming from a rooftop. America would listen. But for some reason, they don't want to say a word. No, it's go along, get along. Rip them off. Rip them off. Dip your beak. Dip your beak. Both parties, dip the old beak. There is so much money in this country being stolen on a daily basis. Every time I walk through San Francisco, I say, how could people not see this in here's one city? there's one Medicare fraud clinic after another. Here I am, an ordinary citizen. Every other storefront is another here to serve the Chinese community, here to serve this community. What do you mean serve? They have brand new cars pulling up to the Unlock Senior Center. Where do these trucks and vans come from? Who pays for this? And I see children ushered in and out of these clinics all day long. I'm the only one who sees it. I mean, Medicare doesn't have an inspector general who walks around in a city and sees these things. All right. What does it have to do with Obama? Oh, nothing. Nothing. Nothing to do with the Democrat machine. Nothing whatsoever. So I'll take your calls on all of these topics and more. Play the syncopated clock and let me reset myself. Fox News hires Jesse Jackson's daughter. That's no doubt because she has a PhD in journalism and because she has such a keen insight into the world. Black caucus blames racial bias for the Trayvon shooting, even though the shooter was not white. Michael Savage, Do or Die for America. 700,000 viewed it over 2 days from the Drudge Report and WND. A TSA screener, JFK, hurled hot coffee at pilot who told her to stop swearing. Well, it was probably a racist incident. That's the only reason she threw the hot coffee, is the pilot was no doubt a racist. She had every right to be outraged and throw hot coffee at him. I'm sure that there'll be a meeting in Congress over this. Oh, here it is. I was right. TSA Administrator Letitia E. was in the middle of a conversation with work colleagues at the JFK Airport when she was interrupted by American Airlines. Off-duty airman Stephen Trivet, 50, was exiting Terminal 8 when he overheard E.I. swearing and asking her to tone down the profanity. Who ever heard of a last name that's E.I.? What does it mean? Trivet of Butler, Tennessee, told them they should conduct themselves more professionally in uniform and not use profanity or the N-word. One TSA screener told Trivet to mind his own business and swore at him. Trivet then identified himself as a TSA officer and armed pilot before trying to grab the ID tags of screener EI to get her name. But EI responded by hurling a full cup of hot coffee over the pilot. EI of Brooklyn's East New York was charged with harassment and misdemeanor. Have you been at the TSA recently in Washington, D.C.? It looks like Egypt. People feel like they're going through a screening in Egypt. I can't say things I would say if it was not national radio. This thing could do a live performance. I'd say a few things right now. But here we are. So I would be sitting there listening to the syncopated clock, watching the early show after a hard day at school. Mom would put out the TV tray. She'd make me a nice low-cholesterol dinner. Let's say a rib steak, French fried potatoes, followed up with another low cholesterol dessert, like a cherry vanilla ice cream. Dad would be coming home from his little store. He'd walk in the door around 6:30, white as a ghost from exhaustion, from the ride from Manhattan. He'd come in there. There's his worst nightmare in front of him. His man-child in the promised land, plump, fat, weak, like a little piglet sitting there being force-fed a cholesterol-rich diet. And he'd say to Mom, "Are you kidding? You're gonna make the kid into a nothing? How dare, blah, 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 why are you catering to him?" And they'd fight over it. He was wrong. She was right. Look where I am today. So I recommend that you feed your children high cholesterol diets and watch the early. What do you care about the old man? What do you care? Yeah, toughen him. Why do you have to toughen him up? Life was gonna toughen him up anyway. It doesn't really matter. I mean, childhood should be golden. Sometimes I look at my dogs. I have three of them now. Don't ask. I wish we didn't. But okay, that's the way it is now. There's Teddy. He's the senior citizen of the dog world. Then we got the Havanese, who I now call a Cuban bed potato. They ask what kind of dog is a little black and white Havanese. I say, oh, he's a Cuban bed potato. The guy, so he's like got a big walrus mustache on him. And he's like Mr. Goofy, like, hello, could I play? And Teddy's like 7 years old and like, oh, look, this is way beyond us now. Let's cut this out, this jumping up and down. Like as old as Teddy and she weighs a pound and she's half blind and, you know, you got to feel bad for her. She like walks into things and you got to pick her up. She's the little mini poodle, but everything's wrong with her. So that's the menagerie in the house. But the Havanese, the Cuban bed potato is a cute little dog, I got to tell you. But sometimes I look at the Cuban bed potato and Teddy, the little poodle, and I see them lying in their dog beds. And they look just like children do when they're young, like 2, 3 years old. The innocence in their faces. And I say, it's beautiful. That's why we have our dogs. Innocence. Then at night, I go and turn on National Geographic, and there I see a pack of chimpanzees in a forest in Africa sleeping in the afternoon after they went out hunting for whatever, bananas. And they're resting on the forest floor last night. I said, look how beautiful they are. I said, boy, before I was in radio, I used to nap in the afternoon. Look what I'm doing now. I don't know whether I would have lived longer or shorter, but I'm not napping in the afternoon. I'm doing the talk show, you know, with 50,000 volts an hour here coming out of me. Then they're napping there, the chimpanzees, and I'm enjoying it after playing with the dogs. All of a sudden they say, but the alpha male notices something in the canopy of the trees, and they're off and running after it. Now the entire pack is chasing the monkey in the tree. And I say, oh, God, no. No, I don't want to watch it. He is jumping from branch to branch, but they have him cut off. He doesn't stand a chance. The next scene is they're eating the thing alive. Well, they don't cook. The chimps have not yet learned how to, like, use a microwave. So they tear him limb to limb. They rip off his head. And they're knocking off a monkey, a live monkey, that 2 minutes before looked like my dog. I pick the dog up, and I look at him. I realize how ethereal it all is and crazy. You understand what I'm saying to you? Like, in that minute, you realize again what life really is, like tick, 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 how precious it is. Well, that's how precious freedom is to me. Same thing. Freedom is not a given. You have to fight for freedom. No one gives it to you. Governments take it from you. Don't you know that there are governments who will take your freedom from you? They'll take your pride. They'll take your dignity. They'll turn you into an animal if you let them. Don't you understand that? I rest my case. I'll be right back. Wait, hang on. Before I go, let me ask you this. How much money do you need to earn each month? Huh? That's what IncomeAtHome.com wants to know. They'll help you make that happen. IncomeAtHome.com is America's leading work-from-home business. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company. Plus, they do business in over 80 countries. The bottom line is this. They are legit. Your age, education, experience, it doesn't matter. You can do this. You can literally earn money on your computer from your kitchen table 24/7. Even while you sleep, there's no pressure. All you need is a little spare time and their one-on-one coaching to earn great money from home. Hey, look, if you're sick of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're worried about job security or retirement, if you're ready to make great money from home, bar time or full, IncomeAtHome.com is adding my listeners in record numbers. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone. You hear that? Just for checking them out. So check them out. Visit IncomeAtHome.com. Check them out. That's IncomeAtHome.com.
Savage.
So I've always been a news fanatic. So I would sit and eat that steak and the potatoes and the cherry vanilla ice cream as a kid, and then I'd watch the news with the liar Walter Cronkite. I had no idea I was being brainwashed by a left-wing fanatic. Years later, I wrote about him. I called him Walter Crankenhouse because that's where he belonged. Uncle Walter. How did I know the man was a diehard leftist fanatic? Nevertheless, as a kid, I'd watch the news, and I remember there was a weather vane. And it would say north, east, west, and south. And I remember learning that the word news, I never knew where the word news came from. I learned later on in life it was an acronym for nothing. It didn't mean anything. It was the weather vane, north, east, west, and south. So the news means that you're getting stories from all points of the globe. That's what the news should be, right? All stories, all points of the globe. What's of interest? Now, how do you rank what's of interest and what's of importance? That becomes the bias, right? Now, I bias things to the order of nationalism, patriotism, liberty. The press has now become almost a wholly owned subsidiary of the Obama administration. Do I have to spell out that the Associated Press now is an arm of the Obama administration? Nakedly so. Do I have to point out that Fox News has now been put in a position where they're hiring Jesse Jackson's daughter for no other reason than they want to placate the Obama administration because Murdoch is under fire. You know, I actually defended Murdoch. It's a strange thing. Even though See, I'm a fair-minded guy. I'm boycotted by Fox News for my entire life, and yet I write a chapter on the Murdoch situation, and I take Murdoch's side, not hoping to get anything out of it. I guess that makes me stupid, in a way, because most people think about what they can get out of everything. But I have a chapter, Tyranny of the Government Media Complex, that's a very important chapter, because I talk about the Soros-Murdoch media war. And I felt that you have to know what's going on, and how billionaire media mogul Murdoch is being attacked by George Soros, because it's a battle of the titans, you see? It's a very, very important story. I'm not going to read it to you. I won't read things on the air if I can avoid it, unless it's directly relevant. But what I'm saying is, you have to read that chapter to understand why I wrote it. Tyranny of the Government Media Complex. That's what we're living in right now. The Soros-Murdoch media war. Very important chapter, and I write it by saying I am no friend of Rupert Murdoch, and the dislike is mutual. The media baron who owns the Fox News Channel, the Wall Street Journal, and many other newspapers and television outlets in the United States, the UK, Australia, and Asia doesn't like me. Fox News doesn't cover my speeches or follow up on the scoops on my radio show. I'm never invited to appear on its cable news network. I could drop dead and Murdoch wouldn't care, and I don't owe Fox or Murdoch anything either. Like I said, I'm not a friend of Murdoch. And it is not my job to write a legal defense of that strange media mogul. But I call them as I see them. So in the interest of fair and balanced assessment of the news, I then go into the entire story of the attack on Murdoch. Who is behind it? And you know who's behind it. Do I have to even say the name? It begins with an O and ends with an A, in my opinion. And therefore, it's an important chapter in trickle-down tyranny, the hacking scandal. And what they're trying to do is destroy Murdoch, and they have him basically in a vice. So that's important. How about taxation without representation? Obama's Leninist tactics continue with the seizure of American wealth, though his method of seizing property is less direct than Lenin's. Lenin simply sent his thugs out to seize the property of Russian citizens who didn't want to give everything to the ruling party. Agents of the Soviet government would enter a village and systematically take all the meager possessions of its inhabitants. These included virtually all clothing, from jackets and trousers and dresses to shoes and winter underwear. Obama doesn't send his thugs directly into Americans' homes. He simply taxes us into poverty. Since he took office, Obama has added 21 new taxes on Americans. Now, I want to go to Obamacare and taxation. Every time I see a wealthy Democrat making millions of dollars in the media saying, people have to pay their fair share. I mean, it's a simple answer. Why don't you just pay more? What are you telling others what to do? For example, if I were on any of the nighttime talk shows, which I will never be invited on, nor would I appear on, and they started in with me of, well, why don't you want to pay your fair share? I would say, Jay or David, why don't you just pay more taxes instead of mouthing the Obama line? What's wrong with you? By the way, Jay or Dave, when did you last have a minority to dinner? When did you last have a dinner party where minorities were present, Dave? Okay? So, you know, these people are such hypocrites, it's sickening. But there's nothing new about any of that. You've known this before. You know who they are. It's that simple. Okay, let's have some trickle-down tyranny horror stories. Sacramento, Bill, fire away. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, pleasure to talk with you. I thought I'd go into the belly of the beast today. I had some time between appointments.
Which store did you go to? Where'd you go? Which store?
Over near Berkeley in Emeryville.
Okay. And was it a chain store or a local bookstore?
Oh, no. It was Barnes & Noble.
And what happened? Did you find the book?
At first, I didn't. I walked in. You know, I'm a pretty big guy, and I sort of perused the entire front of the store. And I asked the young lady behind me.
You had to go through books such as I Was Born in the Wrong Body, How to Get a Sex Change Operation. I get it.
Yeah.
Right. Born in the Wrong Body, right? Is lipstick for me, right? And then you got through that section in Berkeley. And what happened? You found trickle-down tyranny in the back under the children's section?
Pretty close. I had asked the young lady if she could call a manager. And
I get the pick. But eventually you found the book, right?
Yeah, it's like, you know, piled in with everything else. So I introduced myself as a third-party auditor for the publisher.
Oh, ho, ho! Okay, I'm sending you a free copy of the book. You know what I want everyone listening to the show to do? Because I can't do it. You have to be a member of the Savage Army. Why don't you have some fun? Go into every bookstore in America tonight and tomorrow and tell them you're a third-party auditor for the publisher and you'd like to know why the book Trickle Down Tyranny is not in the front of the store as it's supposed to be. And by the way, may I see your badge number and your name? What a great idea. I love it. Ring the bell again. Ring the bell again for the Savage Army.
Savage.
I'll tell you what I want to do for your listening entertainment on the Savage Nation. This morning, I got up very early. I don't like getting up early and working. I like getting up early and not working while going on the internet. But you're doing a second radio show in the morning, as I'm doing now, meaning interviews on shows, is very taxing for me. Even if it's 20 minutes, it's like a whole show. So anyway, I did a local show this morning in Florida, I mean, you know, through an ISDN line with Joyce Kaufman. She's a great host, who is on earlier than me on my affiliate in Florida, WFTL. I'm going to play you a piece of it right now for one reason. She and I have a chemistry that's amazing. It's entertaining. I think you'll enjoy it. Listen.
Dr. Michael Savage is on the line. Of course, you hear Dr. Savage here every evening. You hear his entire program broadcast live. How are you, Doc?
How are you still allowed on the air in Florida with the curtain, the iron curtain that's descended over South Florida with the ascension of the creature from the Black Lagoon there who is the congresswoman, the one with the double last name who I always forget?
Oh, Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah. Wasserman Schultz. Isn't that so English?
Before we go any further, happy birthday. Wasn't your birthday last Sunday?
Yes, Saturday. I had a party. We have pictures of my dog and others at the party up on michaelsavage.com. The dog had a wonderful time. Thanks for asking.
All right. I'm glad
hey, look,
you did.
I happen to love, you know, I really love two audiences on my national show, WFTL and WOR. You know what they have in common?
No.
New Yorkers.
Oh, that's true. Lots of them.
Everybody on W who listens to you must be from Brooklyn, Queens, or New Jersey.
You think?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But I know that you've got to be reeling as I am with what's going on. And I had an opportunity to read Trickle Down Tyranny. And you are the only person right now who's out there saying that 4 years of Obama is not just a bad idea. It could be the end of America.
Well, people think we're making this up. All you got to do is look at what he has done and what he's promised certain groups he will do, not if, but when he is reelected. Now, that's a separate story. What do you mean, when I'm reelected? Remember when he said that to Medvedev with the mic off?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm reelected, I'll have more flexibility. Then he uses the when I'm reelected again. Is there something we don't know, we the dumb people? Well, anyway, you know that the election machines are controlled by a foreign entity, Joyce. You know that, right?
Yes, I do. Because I listen to your show.
It's hard to believe, but it's a fact of reality. The computers that count the votes in America are not even wholly owned in the United States anymore. They're owned by some holding company in Spain, and no one knows who the owner is. Could it be George Soros? So what, did they put the numbers in like at a paramutual track in advance?
Look, I think that there's so much proof right now about voter fraud, even from just some of these primary elections, and nothing going to be done. You've got a Department of Justice who's too busy prosecuting the governor of Arizona to pay attention to intimidation on the part of new Black Panther parties, who's down here now offering a bounty on a fellow Floridian.
Yes, I saw that. Did you see how they doctored the tape for Zimmerman? What they did at NBC, those rats at those networks, how they doctored the tape to make it sound like he was saying a racial thing, which he didn't do. Look, we have domestic terrorism at work. Unfortunately, they're the ones who control the laws. And let's let it go at that, Joyce. We don't need to get into deeper trouble than we're already in. Let me ask the audience out there, many of whom may be liberal or Democrats, but they like you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this question. Listening to this show, do you agree that Obama rewards poverty? Yes. Do you believe he punishes success? Yes. Do you believe that he treats our worst enemies with praise, but stiffs our allies, such as Israel? Do you believe he uses the military as a pawn? Yes. Do you believe that our borders have descended into total chaos? And finally, Joyce, anyone listening out there believe the following, that corporations and cronies are making off with all the wealth? Now, if you agree with anything I said, then welcome to the Savage Nation, and go buy a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, because it's your kind of book.
Absolutely. I think you should have gone with the original title, which was Rules for Beating Radicals.
Well, I thought of that as the original title, but I thought it was too esoteric. And
well, that's why we're in trouble, because we don't read the manual that this president is basically basing his entire control of the country on.
Look what he said to the Supreme Court justices the other day. This unelected group of people? Was he talking about a flash mob outside a nightclub?
No, the Supreme Court.
Joyce, he was talking about the Supreme Court? I don't believe he actually went to law school, or if he did, what was he doing there for 3 years?
Yeah, well, but you know...
Do you know that Marbury versus Madison is the first thing they teach kids in element in first-year law school, where a Supreme Court gets to judge a president's law, or a Congress's law, rather, and if they want, they can override a congressional bill. That's what the Supreme Court is all about. And here's a constitutional lawyer, Barack Obama, who doesn't even know that he's... not the supreme authority in the land. Who does he think he is?
Well, we know who he thinks he is. You're predicting that if he does get another term, he will never get unelected and he'll assume presidency for life.
Well, why should we assume to the contrary? He's a young man. He's a strong man. He's a egomaniac, as all of them are. He's no different in that regard. Why should we assume if he threatens the Supreme Court with a statement such as an unelected group of people, that he couldn't say, you know what, term limits are now passe. Mm-hmm. I pass an executive order. There are no term limits. The people love me. And so, therefore, I'm running again. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't he do that?
Like Hugo Chavez, just like that.
Why not? Mm-hmm. And by the way, Obama says he's a transformational president. Let's not get too carried away here. Let's be very calm about it. What does he mean by transformational, Joyce? What is his model? Which city is he modeling it on? Which nation is he modeling it on? Is it China? Is it Venezuela? What country is his model for the transformation?
It's more like Chicago.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Exactly. Let me ask
Joyce,
you another...
Go on, I'm sorry. How do you handle your job without cracking up from this?
It's funny that you said that. Last night I watched Mel Brooks' movies, The History of the World Part 1, because I was about... my hair hurt. It was getting so bad, the news.
Are the people out there still listening? Do they still care, Joyce?
Yes. Absolutely. You've got 10 million listeners at least. Everywhere I go, people talk about the fact that you're saying things that others don't dare to say. And they listen. I don't know that they change, but they listen. What did you think last night, though? Now we're looking at a Romney president, you know, a nomination. It looks inevitable. And he's not a candidate that either you or I are going to be attracted to in any sense. He's just too bland and too kind of irrelevant. What do you think is going to happen? Is this going to be another wasted election?
No, because, look, Romney is a middle-of-the-road Rockefeller-type Republican, check-pants Republican, country club Republican. That's all true. However, on two issues alone, I have to vote for this character. One, on the issue of national security and taking on the Islamists, I would suspect he's going to be tougher, although one never knows.
I don't know.
On the issue of taxation, corporate taxes and personal, he can't do it with the stroke of a pen, but he certainly understands that high taxation yields stagnation. And so on those issues alone, I would sleep better. As far as everything else goes, I think he's a diehard liberal.
Yeah, that's my problem. His history and his record is clear. He'll take whatever position he thinks will get him elected. But again, what politician doesn't do that?
Is this too catty for me to say, but don't you think Ann Romney ought to disappear from the campaign?
That's not bad. I think what's really would help him is if he just announced a cabinet and filled it with all people that do bring passion to the table, whether it's, you know, Secretary of Defense Alan West.
Joyce, wait a minute. How about a platform? What does he stand for?
Forget
I mean,
platform.
What,
too
you
late.
Know, the Etch-a-Sketch was a pretty good model for this guy.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm elected, I will save America. It sounds like a G.O. speech for somebody in a high school.
Mm-hmm.
What we need is someone who says, okay, here's my campaign, borders, language, culture. That's pretty clear. I hang my hat on those. If you like, you know, my campaign slogan, vote for me. What is his slogan?
Yeah, no, I'll be better than Obama is his slogan. And you said it yourself.
I think we're finished. Now, Joyce, I'm terrified because I see the same clowns who ran McCain off the rails doing it to him. The other day he said, oh, Obama's not a bad guy. He's a nice man. Ugh. It's just that I have a different vision. That's the end of the road. Nobody believes Obama's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now, wait, now I have to tell you a great story that I thought when it was happening to me last night. I said, I can't wait to tell Dr. Savage this story. I'm talking to my son who lives in Los Angeles and happens to be an attorney. I did the best I could, but things turn out the way they turn out. And he told me the case for the Supreme Court not overturning Obamacare. He said, and at the end of the argument, he said to me, look, I went to Yale Law School. Why are you arguing with me? That elitist, effete attitude, Michael, that they have is so aggravating, but that's, they love Obama.
Oh, you mean your own son has the elitist attitude?
Yes, yes.
Lord Joyce, come on.
I can't help it. I thought Joyce, I was doing the right thing. I sent him to Harvard and Yale Law School. How did I know he was going to become a lunatic?
Joyce, the seltzer bottle doesn't fall far from the truck, okay?
I should have remembered that.
And remember that one? The seltzer bottle doesn't bounce far from the truck when I did that whole thing from...
Yes.
Don Scungili.
I can't forget that. As a matter of fact, I play that. I have the bit in, you know, I think it's probably one of the most clever things in radio. But
so, Joyce, where are you going to move if the president for life gets reelected?
I've been looking at Uruguay.
Down in one of the rivers down there?
Yeah. You've traveled all over South America. No,
Joyce,
good?
One of the Uruguayan rivers will remind you of the Never Sink River in your youth.
Okay. What about, like, Singapore? They tell me it's nice in Singapore.
I got food poisoning there. I don't like Asia. You know, it's funny. Everyone has a thing about various countries. I almost died twice in my life from food poisoning. Once was in Japan, and the second time was in Thailand. Mm. So,
yeah,
although I eat Chinese and Japanese and Thai food here in San Francisco, mm-hmm. forget about it. I don't trust the hygiene in Asia. I know it's not, oh, really? Yeah, really?
I have a question that's been, I've been thinking about it since I read this new book, and that is, how do you write all these books? Like, when do you breathe? When do you sleep?
I don't sleep. You know, even when I'm sleeping, last night was a shock. My mind was writing pages for another book, and I got... Normally, I get up if that happens, and I write it down. I have an auto thing in my head, right? Get up and write it down. Jerk, or you'll forget it or dictate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was so tired last night from talking about the book Trickle Down Tyranny and trying to get people to go out to the bookstores and look at it, see what they think, that my mind, I just couldn't get up and do it. So I lost a chapter, in other words, by sleeping.
Well, you need to write a sequel to Abuse of Power, because I think, I'm waiting for the movie, but in the meantime, I'm looking forward to the sequel. And your nonfiction books make my hair hurt because the news is all so bad.
Yeah, but that's it, Joyce. You know, let's take it from the side of the woman with the hyphenated name in South Florida, mm-hmm. who makes my flesh crawl because she reminds me of all the relatives I ran away from. In New York.
A bad satyr.
Oh, God. It's like a bad Santa. That's a good title unto itself. Joyce, you've got... Why don't you tell your son to sell that as a film script, The Bad Satyr?
All right, I'll do it.
Who would play the rabbi?
You.
No, I'd be the liberal lawyer in the room, the one who went to Harvard. I'd play the opposite of me.
Oh, that'd be classic, right? Just as a caricature. I've got a daughter in San Francisco. My life has been completely turned upside down by the state you live in.
What is she, does she share your political views?
No, she's a crazy physician, but at least she works in the VA hospital, so she tones down by respecting the men and women who serve in the military. Keeps
Isn't
her humble.
That no, you did great. You created two incredibly educated children. So, look, you can't have it all. So you got the, so their politics are the opposite of yours. But isn't that the way it works?
It is. And they'll grow up, because how long is he going to pay the taxes in Los Angeles and get nothing for his money and not revolt?
Is he married yet?
He just got married on New Year's Eve.
All right. 2 more years, he'll be a conservative Republican.
Amen. He went to college as a Republican. He was the kid for McCain on his campus many, many years ago at Harvard, the first time John McCain ran. I don't know what happened to him.
Here's the thing. What do you call a liberal with one child?
I don't know.
Conservative. No. What do you call a liberal with two children?
Ultra conservative.
Right winger. What do you call a liberal with three children? Fascist. I mean, that's how it works. So,
I love you. You're the best. So how's the book doing? I mean, it just came out, right? Like momentarily.
Yesterday was the launch date. I just got a call from my nervous agent biting his nails. He said it sold so many copies the first day that it's probably going to make it into the top five on the NYT list next Tuesday. And we're competing with some of the most difficult books to crack. Because here's the thing, Joyce, is interesting. Liberals are loyal to their they're very loyal.
Mm-hmm.
If a host who's a very liberal person goes out and says, you know, do this, do that, they do it. They're like robots. It's like Jell-O. Conservatives are cheap. They don't even want to buy a book anymore.
Ugh.
What do they want, everything for nothing?
Well, and you know, the problem with you writing a book is that they do get 3 hours a day of your mind. And they think that, you know, they're sated by that. They don't realize that the book becomes a source of reference. I look at Trickle Down Tyranny, I'm going to be stealing lines for you for the next 2 years.
Joyce, before you go, and I can hear already in the voice an ad is coming. Hold on a minute. I hear already the pinched voice. I know already what's in the background, the clock.
Right.
You have a long stop set here.
No, I made it long. I'm going to get in trouble for it.
Joyce, mm-hmm. I'm going to read one line.
Okay.
Every author dreams of writing the one line that's remembered. Here's the first line of my book. Economies can be rebuilt. Armies can be repopulated. But once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. The loss of a nation's honor is something not even centuries can repair. The next president must love America. In other words, the next president must be the exact opposite of Barack Obama.
Well, if you think that's Mitt Romney, I mean, we're screwed.
Oh, my God. You hear? No. Well, let's spend a little time on Romney another time, Joyce.
Yeah.
But has he been on your show yet?
Not in this election, in the last election. People like tend to shy away from me. I'm kind of, you know, toxic.
You're caustic. You ask real questions.
Exactly. Right. Did you see Michelle Obama was at Golden State Park over there by you and telling little kids that they should have their grandparents and great-grandparents that they are wrong if they don't vote for Barack Obama?
I saw the outfit she wore, and it frightened me. I mean, the outfit she wore with those spandex pants put a chill through my spine. I said, what has happened to this country that she would even dare wear something so undignified? Yeah. That's really what it came down to. And you know what it is, Joyce?
What?
Barack Obama and Michelle Obama seem to think that they are above the law and they can do no wrong. They are absolutely arrogant. And as Lord Acton wrote, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I think we're living through that.
I think you're right. Well, I thank you for spending some time with us.
When do you come to San Francisco to yell at your daughter?
Well, not too long, because I found out that my daughter's finally going to make me a grandmother, so I'll probably be out there soon.
She's liberal and she's getting married?
Wait, she got married, yeah.
She's liberal and lives in San Francisco, and I was afraid to ask if she got married?
Yes, she got married. She did it all in the right order.
Well, maybe he's not as left-wing as she is.
It's interesting. I'll tell you about it one day.
Uh-oh, I heard already. Okay, give me a call when you come out here. I'll take you to some great Chinese food that's hygienically pure.
All right, you got it. Thank you. Dr. Michael Savage, and the book is Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America, a must-have for everybody.
Savage.
Some more. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Orquesta Aragon de Cuba. This is when Cuban music was great. I grew up on it. And here we are. This song is played in honor of my Cuban couch potato dog, the Havanese Toby, who I hope is sleeping right now. Sleeps 24 hours a day. He's not on my website. Teddy is. What a gorgeous dog that Teddy is. God, why must they die? Why must anything die? When something's perfect, why must they die? Why? Look at that dog. I have to stuff him. Look at that second picture on my website with his mouth, his tongue, his teeth. He's perfect. Why is some things perfect like that? Anyhow, let's go to the callers on the set. We have almost no time. We're out of time already. Look at this. Ohio, Dave, fire away. Do it in 20 seconds. Question.
What advice can you give us if we want to buy the book, but we're surrounded by liberals, we're in the bookstore, we're afraid?
I see. Another, how do you present yourself in a liberal bookstore when you go in to buy a conservative book like Trickle Down Tyranny? You go in and you say, hey, look, I got a crazy conservative father. He's a war vet. He's injured in the hospital. I got to buy him a crackpot book, Trickle Down Tyranny. Can you tell me what you got it? That way you don't have to identify with it. You know what I'm saying? That's how you survive in a communist dictatorship. You go in under camouflage. But for being such a good sport, I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Oh, goodness. What a world. What a world. What a world. W-H-O-R-L-D.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen to some of this audio, including Deberman, Wasserman, blah, blah, Schultz, saying Paul Ryan's path to prosperity, meaning a belt-tightening budget, is a path to poverty. The world is upside down, according to these hyphenated last-namers.
You know, President Obama, rightly, is making sure that the American people understand that there is a dramatic difference in the two visions that they will have to choose from in this country come November. And that is a vision that he has laid out and that he's been moving us toward to make sure that everyone in America has a fair shot, that everyone gets a fair shake, and everyone plays by the same set of rules, and the middle class and working families have a chance at success. And it's not just wealthy people and the most fortunate who can have the wind at their backs. And that's what Mitt Romney is about, and this is a dramatic contrast. And in addition to that, the unbelievable budget cuts and cutting our way to deficit reduction, that really is not a path to prosperity, it's a path to poverty.
And here's a good guy. You need to listen to Fifth Circuit Court Judge Jerry Smith demanding a letter from Attorney General Eric Holder. Good luck.
I would like to have from you by noon on Thursday, that's about 48 hours from now, a letter stating what is the position of the Attorney General and the Department of Justice in regard to the recent statements by the President, stating specifically and in detail in reference to those statements what the authority is of the federal courts in this regard in terms of judicial review. That letter needs to be at least 3 pages, single space, no less, and it needs to be specific.
Finally, you need to listen to Obama at the Easter prayer breakfast talking about the story of Easter. Do you believe a word that comes out of this man's mouth? Take a guess which reverend was at the prayer breakfast. That's right. Al Sharpton. Does anyone know where he got his degree from? Is he a real reverend? He is a street agitator. It sickens me that this is what's going on. Well, okay, you know what I think. You know what I think this tyrant has done. You know what I think he's done to the White House.
It is only because Jesus conquered his own anguish, conquered his fear, that we're able to celebrate the resurrection. It's only because he endured unimaginable pain that racked his body and bore the sins of the world that burdened his soul, that we are able to proclaim he is risen. So the struggle to fathom that unfathomable sacrifice makes Easter all the more meaningful to all of us. It helps us to provide an eternal perspective to whatever temporal challenges we face. It puts in perspective our small problems relative to the big problems he was dealing with. And it gives us courage, and it gives us hope. We all have experiences that shake our faith. There are times where we have questions for God's plan relative to us. But that's precisely when we should remember Christ's own doubts and eventually his own triumph.
What a day this is. Obama's on the warpath. I mean, have you heard this story? Have you heard this or haven't you heard it? Have you heard what he's done now? You haven't heard this. Unions are planning to organize 100,000 bums in the streets called Occupy protesters in order to intensify their intimidation of the American worker and the American people. United Auto Workers, International Brotherhood of Teamsters, are organizing these bums in the gutter to threaten America, all because Barack Hussein Obama wants it done. Other headlines on MichaelSavage.com. Fort Hood shooting suspect seeks trial delay again. That's right. The Muslim major who killed 13 people and shot 32 others in cold blood has sought one delay after another. They now want it after the election. You think Obama's behind this lack of justice? I think so. I think so. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Well, if you haven't read this, have you seen this yet? Michael Savage, Do or Die for America. It really is the most important story. I mean, I can read all the news to you, but you can read it yourself. But the fact of the matter is, my new book, Trickle Down Tyranny, is the most important book I've ever written. And I'm not going to read the article to you, but I'll summarize it for you. And it's really simple. The book is supported by 300 pages of footnoted documentation of Obama's radical ideas and actions. So it's not just hype. And I summarize it in one sentence. If Barack Obama is elected for another four-year term, he'll be president for life. He'll be the new Hugo Chavez. He'll do away with the two-term limit and win the 2016 election with 90% of the vote. And we have less than 6 months to make sure this doesn't happen. And the only thing I can offer you is for you to carry around trickle-down tyranny as a statement, as a billboard, as a weapon. I've told you over and over again on my radio show that Obama is presiding over voter fraud and the most corrupt administration in this country's history. Did you hear that the Obama administration has sold the rights to processing our election results to a private company? Did you hear that this critical component of free elections, the transparent tabulation of votes, will now be handled not by individual precincts, but by a company over which we will have little control? It's all on page 25 of Trickle Down Tyranny. You want to know the name of the company? I'll read it to you. Or you want to read it yourself. It's a company that is based in Spain. How do you feel about the fact that your votes are being counted by an electronic means, by a company controlled in Spain? I believe this is the final step in Barack Obama's corruption of the voting process. This has the promise of enabling him and his cohorts to control the outcomes of federal elections with no accountability. On top of that, it's one more step toward the formation of a global government. There's much more, much, much more about the voter fraud, the vote rigging tied to Obama in trickle-down tyranny. Much, much more. And I can guarantee you one thing. You haven't read this in any other book. It's a must-read, Trickle Down Tyranny.
Romney seems to look at the world through the rearview mirror. I mean, he wants to go back to the policies of the last decade on economics. He says Russia's our greatest foe. He thinks employers ought to be able to decide whether women can get contraceptive coverage or not, any employer. He thinks if we just drill for more oil, that'll solve our energy problems. No higher fuel efficiency standards, no renewables. I think he must watch Mad Men and think it's the evening news. He's just in a time war.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with, the ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better? Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com.
Savage.
It is a mad, 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 mad world, and I fear that we could be heading towards a national nervous breakdown. You know, it's happened to other countries. But when you have a King Ludwig in the White House, as we have, who has bankrupted the Treasury, yes, he inherited a $1 trillion deficit. That is true, but he turned it into a $4 trillion deficit. There's no arguing with the facts, and the fact is the man is a fiscal communist who prints money in order to buy votes. There's no other explanation for it. He pays back the cronies who put him in office, fake loans, in my opinion, to these solar companies that are going out of business as fast as you can say solar energy or as fast as you can say Neptune. And people can't keep up with the number of scandals that come and go from the Obama administration. And the myths that keep flying out of the White House, the myths about the jobs and he saved the world and the economy's better. Well, the economy is slightly better, by the way. If you look around, I mean, you don't have to be a genius to see that. But I don't know what the reasons are for the betterment of the economy. Personally, I think it's people are just spending money. The restaurants are full wherever you go. People are buying cars again. The housing market is still extremely sluggish because it was a false bubble to begin with. How many times can you flip a house and think that you're Donald Trump? I mean, how many idiots, the condo they bought for $192 and they sold for $212, and they thought they're already on the road to Donald Trump. They'll flip this house, put in the, everywhere you went, marble and this, and the marble. Everywhere there's someone from Mexico was cutting a piece of marble in a driveway. Wherever you turned, there was a marble cutter. I never saw anything like it, the tile and the marble. I never saw anything like it in my life. Then it all came to a grinding halt. All the saws were sitting unsinging in the driveways, thank God for me. But, you know, so people are not as afraid, so they're spending. But where's the money coming from? That's what I'd like to know. The military cutting to the bone. NASA destroyed. Space flights destroyed. You say it doesn't matter. Well, does it matter? Then if it doesn't matter, why is China developing space weaponry? If it doesn't matter, why is China racing as fast as they can to develop as advanced space technology as they can? If it doesn't matter, why is, and he wants to cut our nuclear arsenal by another 80%. So you say, well, what do we need all those nukes for? We only need 200 to 300. Then why is China upgrading their nuclear stockpile? Why is Russia upgrading their nuclear stockpile while he is diminishing it? These are amazing points. And you haven't heard one of these points from any of the sad sacks on the Republican side. Not one. So we the people sit here saying, how much more can we take of this? How and much more? You had the easiest slam dunk victory in history. And here they came along and they let, look, it was Newt Gingrich who destroyed the Republican Party. But I don't think it was he alone. I think he was in cahoots with the RNC to do it. I've had this terrible feeling in my gut that it was 8 years Dems, 8 years Repub. And then it was going to be 8 years down, no matter what he did, no matter who it was in power, that the power structure can't afford to switch management every 4 years. It's too hard to reestablish lobbyists and get the lines running through again, the money lines. So it's easier to let the other party have it for 8 years because you got all the other. You know what I'm saying? That's how it works. At least that was one of my bad moments. I saw it that way. Yeah, you know, it's possible, isn't it? Is it not possible that they're throwing the election? Tell me the truth. By what you've seen go on between Romney, Sanctimonious Santorum, Girthy Gingrich, and missing Neurons Paul, you're telling me it doesn't look like they threw the election, but who could they have put? Who could they pull out of in a brokered convention? I'm doing politics for a minute. Let's say they go to the brokered convention, which is a smoke-filled room, where they decide to throw overboard all of the failure candidates, despite what they said and did, and they come up with someone who, don't tell me Jeb Bush can win. Impossible, can't win. Unelectable. No one wants another Bush any more than they want another Kennedy or another Clinton. America doesn't want dynasties, so Jeb Bush would be a disaster, and yet they're bandying the name about. Okay, that's number one. So who's out there? Who's out there? Who are they going to pick in a brokered convention? Who? Who will the fat cats pick? Tell me who. I don't know who. Name one other candidate. Who? Don't come up with Rubio. Don't give me Rubio, another hero. Another hero of the Republican Revolution, Rubio. Well, what is such a heroic? What has this guy done? Who is he? He's got the name. That's all. Ends in an O. Therefore, he's going to win. A-E-I-O-U. That's all. Right away, you got a whole ethnic group. That's all it's about. I don't know what he stands for. What is he, an inspirational speaker? Tell me who. I don't know who to pick. There were some guys I really liked about 2 years ago. They like went on the wayside. A guy from Alabama was very conservative. He quieted down. You know who I mean, right? I don't know. They disappeared. All of the right-wing guys who I really respected. The really good conservative senators, they like stopped talking. You don't hear from them anymore. Inhofe's a good guy, but he's not going to run. I can't even name another guy that could win. Could you name one person who could be picked up in a brokered convention, seriously, who could win? Don't come up with a name like Rush Limbaugh, please. Tell me, you know, Sean Hannity can win. That's what I want to hear next. Bill O'Reilly should run for the presidency. They're going to get like lunatic answers like that. Mike, you should run. We got your back. We light candles for you. We got your back, Mike. Go, Mike, go. We got your back, Mike. We're with you. Yeah, banned in England. You know who had my back? The donors to my fund. That's it. I'm still languishing. Can't go to. I can't go to England. I want to get my teeth done. I can't go there. I want to eat their great cuisine. I can't get into England to experience the great socialist cuisine of England. But if it does end, you know, would I go there? Would I really go if my name is lifted? I don't know. After what they did to me, I don't want to ever go there. I like the architecture. I like the Regency architecture the most. I like the period architecture, but I really don't want to go there to see Islamabad in London, to be frank with you. I could do without women in burqas as England. To me, England was always, you know, mutton pie, Winston Churchill, rosy cheeks, bulldogs, jaguars. You know, somehow it wasn't full body coverings from Islamabad and hate eyes behind the veils. You know what I mean? I don't really need to go there now. Go see another curry shop. I'd go to San Francisco. And we started with this tiger shrimp. Next thing will be a food discussion. All roads lead back to the shrimp. That's all I can tell you. Every road leads right back to the same thing. And nature yawns. Nature yawns at all of this. The landforms, they just sit here. They look at us like little ants crawling around. The graveyards are filled, and they keep filling up generation after generation the way of all flesh. The landforms, the landforms, the landforms, he said. The graveyards, the graveyards, the graveyards they fill, he said. And so what does he agonize, and why does he eat his guts out, he asked. I don't know. Why do I? Why am I sitting here doing this with my back to a wall, worrying about all of this? It's liable to blow up in our face. The nation is liable to have it. It's going to go there. I believe that the Occupy movement are the advanced troops of the Obama thugs. He unleashed them on America. In fact, everyone has the sound bites of him supporting them. Pelosi supported them. Hillary supported them. And you see, again, if you had a viable alternative party, the Republicans, if they were viable, they'd be showing playing the speeches of Obama supporting the Occupy thugs, right? And then they would show the Occupy thugs and what they're doing, throwing urine bags at police, things like that. And they'd say, he supported the Occupy thugs. He unleashed them. They're his private army. He's a dangerous man. He's not fit for office. You don't see any of this. You got to ask yourself, why? Why is the RNC avoiding the obvious? Because they don't really want to win.
Savage.
Most judicial experts believe that CastroCare will be overturned by the Supreme Court, but American conservative columnist Noah Millman holds out a disturbing possibility of what could happen, and he joins us right now in the Savage Nation to discuss why. Noah Millman, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you today.
We all know that the Affordable CastroCare Act is unconstitutional because it was jammed down our throats. It's also a violation of the Commerce Clause. But why do you think the Supreme Court will uphold the law? Are they afraid of him?
Well, first of all, I'd say no, we don't know that it's unconstitutional. In fact, I would say there's very little that we all know is or is not unconstitutional. That's why we have a Supreme Court. although we don't have to agree with what the Supreme Court says, everyone's entitled to their own opinion about that. I think the Supreme Court will uphold the law for a few reasons. First of all, because I think they don't want to strike it down. They don't want to strike it down because it's not clear how broad the repercussions would be of setting a new precedent there. And I think it's easier to argue that less of a precedent is being set on the other side. I also think they don't want to strike it down because the court itself pretty much acknowledges that if it were structured as a tax, it would be a perfectly acceptable plan. In other words, if you had a tax that everyone had to pay, and then they were rebated that tax payment if they owned health insurance of their own, and then they were given, if they did not get the rebate, they'd be getting a voucher to purchase health care, which is structurally exactly the same as the way the ACA works, except instead of paying the tax and getting a rebate, you get ordered to go and pay for insurance if you don't have it. It's otherwise structured exactly the same way. If the court did that, if the government did that, everyone agrees it would be perfectly constitutional and legal. So the difference between the two plans is basically a technicality. It strikes me as unlikely that the court really wants to insert itself in such a dramatic way in the politics of this country over what amounts to a technicality, something that could be very easily fixed if the majority that existed at the time the law was passed existed today. That having been said, obviously, I don't know what the court's going to do. The court can do whatever it wants. I think it's clear that some people on the court do want to strike down the law and want to strike it down because they do want to establish limits to the commerce power. And that's the argument, the area on which the argument's been taking place is over the commerce power rather than the tax power.
What made you come to the conclusion that CastroCare will be upheld?
Partly it's that I think it's constitutional. So to some extent, I think we always find our own arguments more persuasive than other people's arguments. So I'm probably biased in that direction. I think that the tone of Kennedy's and Roberts' questions suggested to me that they were trying to find the narrowest possible basis for upholding it and see whether there was a sufficiently narrow basis for upholding that they could live with. I don't think either of them want to be assigning a decision that basically says the commerce power is unlimited. And that was very much the tone of Kennedy's questioning in particular. What is the limiting principle? I think they have one to hand. The principle they have to hand is, healthcare is different. Everyone participates in the healthcare market because eventually everybody gets sick. Everyone participates in the healthcare market because the government mandates already that healthcare providers provide certain care regardless of the person's ability to pay, or rather, that you don't ask. They have the ability to pay first. So effectively, everybody's in the market, and they could say, "Well, the only time we're only ruling that a mandate is acceptable if you have a market that is structured like that, and very few markets are structured like that. Possibly, no other markets are structured like that." So, I think they have the ability to make a narrow ruling, which I think is what both Roberts and Kennedy would want to do. And I also think that the court is very careful about its own prestige or its own legitimacy, perceptions of its own legitimacy, and a 5-4 decision striking down a major act of Congress would not be seen as legitimate by part of the country, a big part of the country, the Democratic half of the country. And I think the court is reluctant to do that sort of thing. If they had a 7-2 majority, even a 6-3 majority, I think it's more likely that they would be willing to say we're going to overrule Congress in a situation like this. But I think they're going to be reluctant to do it unless they feel they don't have a choice.
Why do you think some of the more conservative justices don't want to strike down this communist piece of legislation?
Well, not all conservatives are the same. I think there's a real diversity on the right half of the bench. Justice Thomas very clearly thinks that the commerce decisions of the New Deal era were decided wrongly and that they should be reversed. He's going to vote to overrule no matter what because he wants to set a new precedent. I think that both Alito and Scalia, in the tone of their questions, suggest that they were willing to set a precedent not that overturns some of those cases, but that sets an additional bound. So the Violence Against Women Act and the Gun Control in Schools Act, these are the kinds of precedents that were set in earlier courts to say, the commerce power doesn't mean everything. Some things aren't commerce. And if the relationship to commerce is so wildly tenuous and hypothetical, violence against women has economic consequences, for example, then Congress really doesn't have the right to enact the legislation. So I think Scalia and Alito would be comfortable setting down a marker like that, saying this is a bridge too far. We want to lay down a certain degree of a limit. Roberts and Kennedy, I just felt from the tone of the questioning that they had that they were less, you know, less certain of which way they were going to vote, or that they knew which way they wanted to vote, and they didn't want to set a precedent in the other direction. They didn't want to set a precedent that opened up vast new powers. And they weren't buying the argument that there was no precedent being set here. I think they were they bought into the activity inactivity distinction that was the key point of the plaintiffs, that if you are not engaged in an act, then you can't regulate it, and therefore this can't be, you know, regulating commerce. They bought into that distinction generally, and so now they were looking for a way. I felt they were looking for a way to uphold the law without throwing that distinction out. In effect, if they uphold the law on narrow grounds, they can argue to themselves probably that they have actually established some degree of a limit because they've explained how this law is an exception. I doubt that's how it will actually play out in practice. In practice, you know, the court's precedents are applied in all kinds of interesting ways. Brown versus Board of Education was decided on the basis that education is special, but it became the precedent for wide-ranging court decisions striking down segregation in all kinds of areas that have nothing to do with education. So you never know how a precedent is going to be applied, but I think they may be thinking that to themselves.
Do you think this law will lead to a single-payer health care system?
I don't think so. I think if we're going to get to single-payer health care, it will have nothing to do with whether this law passed or not. The law was most countries, every country has a different healthcare system, and the way they've gotten to the healthcare system they have is path dependent. You know, France's system is different from the Dutch system, is different from the Swiss system, is different from the British system, is different from the American system, and everybody's doing it differently because they started in a different place. You know, Britain enacted the National Health Service after World War II. That then became the basis for not just government, you know, it's beyond single-payer health care. It's, you know, government-provided health care. The government actually runs the health care system. A lot of other countries, like the Netherlands and Switzerland, have a mixed system similar to ours that does have a public component, that does have a guarantee that everybody has health care, but that has a role for private insurance. So I think it's unlikely that the United States is going to rip up our insurance system root and branch. What I hope would happen, and I'm disappointed that the Republican Party didn't go in this direction, what I was hoping would happen is that the argument would not be, you know, this is tyranny and must be repealed, but this is wasteful and poorly or designed and should be reformed. And I particularly feel that way because ultimately the elephant in the room is rising health care costs and figuring out how to bring those under control. And the unsustainable part of our healthcare spending is our healthcare spending, the most unsustainable part, is our healthcare spending on the elderly. And the explosion in costs that's happening is going to continue to happen in Medicare. And right now we have a two-tier system in this country where people who are in Medicare get government-provided insurance, exactly, you know, single-payer healthcare, and other people are at the mercy of the market. Until we get everybody in the pool together, we can't make intelligent trade-offs about where our healthcare dollar goes and what is a sensible use, what should actually be covered, right? Because right now those questions only obtain at a national level to senior citizens. The rest of the population doesn't get to be part of the conversation. So I would have liked to see folks like Senator Wyden and Representative Ryan, who've been working together on health care, focusing their energies, as they have to a certain extent, on how to bring Medicare into the same structure that Obamacare is in, which is to say to voucherize it within a context of a guarantee that everybody will be able to access insurance. I think the most recent Wyden Ryan proposal goes very much in that direction, and I'm very optimistic about that direction for American healthcare to go. But it only can work within the context of everybody having access to healthcare, and there's really kind of nowhere to get there without requiring everyone to own health insurance or simply providing it by the government.
Isn't this a huge leap in government power?
Well, no. first of all, do you mean government power or do you mean federal government power? Nobody disputes that the states can do that, and there are states that have. Massachusetts enacted a plan very similar to Obamacare under Governor Romney. So nobody disputes the states can do this. It's not a change in the relationship between citizens and the government. The argument of the plaintiffs really is that it's a change in the relationship between citizens and the federal government, that this is basically a state responsibility because the Commerce Clause doesn't let the government doesn't give it plenary power over the economy. It only lets it regulate transactions that are actually happening. Someone who is not buying health insurance, the argument of the plaintiffs is not engaging in commerce. I don't think that's the only argument to be made. I think it's equivalent to a tax. The court was not sympathetic to that argument, but I think it's a very persuasive argument that the mandate effectively is a tax. And I think that the reason the Obama administration didn't want to argue that is that they didn't want to be on record saying that they enacted a big tax, but they did. So is it a big change in the relationship between government and citizens? No. It's the government is providing a service through private parties and requiring you to pay for it. The government does that all the time with all kinds of services.
Noah Millman, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, it was great to talk to you.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
I remember when I was a young biology student at Queens College, you know, little peon in the classroom, and our heroes were Watson and Crick, going back to, wow, another age. They uncoiled the double helix of DNA. So they were the heroes, even though allegedly they ripped it off from a lab assistant, a woman assistant, a radiological specialist, who I'm sorry to tell you, I forget her name, but it was her X-ray crystallography that I think actually deciphered the double helix, if I remember correctly. It's 50 years ago, so forgive me. So anyway, I'm a young undergrad, you know, mediocre student at best, very bad interest, and I was interested in things, but I was a bad student. So our heroes were Watson and Crick, but when one of them won the Nobel Prize, and I think it was Watson, I don't know which, they showed him at Cambridge, when he's giving a lecture, and a student comes up and says, "Sir, you've just won the Nobel Prize," and he says with the then very famous British, you know, understatement, he says, "Yes, thank you," and he goes on with his lecture. No popping of champagne, no hoorays, no celebrations, and he went on with his life, and because that's the way he was. As a matter of fact, Watson was recently fired from Cold Spring Harbor, wasn't he, for saying something politically incorrect about 5 years ago? Didn't he say something equivalent to Rick's Rock? I mean, didn't they try to smear him with the Rick's Rock thing? Yeah. See, they take a great man like that, a great scientist like that, says one wrong word, and he gets thrown out of Cold Spring Harbor, thrown out of science, because, you know, we're living in a terrible age, by the way. We're not living in the age of enlightenment anymore. Not with Obama. He introduced the age of something else. He didn't bring in the age of enlightenment. Let's be clear. Obama ushered in another age. I haven't defined yet what it is. But it's not the age of enlightenment. I think the age of enlightenment ended a long time ago, long before Obama. But this man did not bring in the age of progressivism either. He brought in the age of something much different. Some would say the age of tyranny. But he's so good at it, so silk smooth at it, you don't even know that you're being put into the chair. You don't even know you're being strapped into the chair or strapped onto the gurney. He's so smooth at it, you're putting your hands into the cuffs. He is so smooth at it, you're taking the bagel on the way into the boxcar. He's so smooth at it, you're saying could have another smear of cream cheese on the way into the boxcar. But all right, you don't want to know that. You want to live in a dream world because you can go buy a green tie, red tie, yellow tie. You can buy a red car, blue car, yellow car. You can buy a big car, small car, medium car. You can buy an SUV, an LEV, an LSMFT, and you think you're free. You're not free. You're a slave. You are a slave, and I don't mean a wage slave. That's been said a long time ago. You are a slave of your own views of progressivism. You don't even understand what you're talking about when you think that Obama is a progressive. But again, I don't want to go there. I wanted to talk about Amanda Knox. I was pleased to see it with Obama for a minute and the abuse of power of the British and American governments. But all roads lead back to the same abusiveness. At the end of the day, all roads lead back to the abuse of a government. And it's a very frightening thing to say. Here I was, a man who had never committed a crime, never appeared as a defendant in a criminal trial, never accused of an actual crime, and yet I was put on a list with Russian skinheads in prison for murdering 10 immigrants, put on a list with a Hamas murderer who executed two Jewish parents and crushed in the head of their 4-year-old daughter with a rifle butt. Why was I put on a list with these criminals without a trial? Amanda Knox was given a trial and an appeal. I wasn't even given a trial by the people who invented the Magna Carta. So again, I'm harping on that old story. You're bored of it, aren't you? Banned in Britain. But you didn't really care about my book, Banned in Britain, or about my story being banned in Britain, because you didn't hear about it, read about it, see about it, talk about it. So I said, all right, the only way to reach the American people is through a novel. Do you realize what a long shot just came in for me? Do you have any idea, if you're a betting man, what this is? The guy feels he has a grudge against the government that did this to him. He writes a nonfiction book, and a couple of thousand people. He has a radio show. No one really cares. It's forgotten, buried, old story, gone. So the guy says, I'll tell you what, I'll fictionalize the story to show what's really going on. And all of a sudden, the book is on the New York Times bestseller list as a fiction, as a story. It's unheard of. When have you heard of a political man writing a fictionalized book about a plight he has who hits it so high on a New York Times bestseller list? When have you ever heard about this? I don't think I've heard about it. There may be a few cases. A few ideas come to mind, but not in fiction. I mean, Emile Zola wrote a book, but he didn't fictionalize it in order to trumpet the cause of someone who had been falsely condemned for a crime he didn't commit. I think he has a descendant, this guy, who's a bad movie actor. I forget his name. Dreyfus. The world's worst actor in history. But the Dreyfus affair, man sent to Devil's Island for a crime he didn't commit, railroaded by the French government. No one ever heard of him. Nobody would do a thing for him. And then Emile Zola went to his defense, but he didn't write a novel. He just started to talk about it, and then he got him, you know, got him off. And he got Dreyfus back to the military.
Savage.